Welcome back to the Sheriff Mac Show, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman. Wow, Fox News meltdown continues. Jesse Waters will replace Tucker Carlson in the 8 p.m. primetime slot. Laura Ingraham, I guess, moves to the 7 time slot. Sean Hannity will remain in his 9 o'clock time slot. Wow, how come none of those three hosts will have the good sheriff on to talk about this monumental day? Sheriff, welcome, and we're going to have you on because it matters.
Yay, I get to be on my show. I get to be on my own show. Thank you, Sam. Thanks for having me. Thanks for being here, Sam. Thank you, Hunter. Thank you, Brighty on TV. And I'm telling you, Sam, it is a beautiful Tuesday morning here in Arizona, but that's only going to last another few minutes because it is way too hot. Way too hot. So it's a hot topic we got going on today for the show. It's an amazing day. It's an amazing anniversary. And we have the two sheriffs, the two primary litigants in the Mac Prince case that are on the show today. Yes, we have Sheriff Jay Prince with us today, Sam, as you know, and I am thrilled with it. And I got to tell you how this happened. Yesterday, hey, he texted
me. Before the story of how it happened, let's make sure everybody understands. The anniversary Sheriff Mac is talking about is today marks the 26th year anniversary of the Prince Mac win, the monumental Supreme Court case that restored the 10th Amendment. The greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered. Will citizens back their county sheriffs is the question. We're celebrating the 26th year anniversary with both sheriffs. Sheriff Mac?
Yes, Sam. And I'm telling you, there's so much going through my mind. As soon as you said that, more like 29, 30 years just flashed in front of my face and in my mind. The last 20, 29, 30 years, we both filed in 1994. So, I mean, you could do the math from there. 29 years ago, it's been an amazing, amazing run. It has changed my life, of course, forever. It's changed my family's life. And it's just been an amazing, amazing, miraculous run. So yesterday I got a text from somebody on a 406 and I knew that was Montana, but I didn't know who it was. And he started talking to me about, the anniversary of the decision. And I said, well, if you're talking about my Supreme Court case, then yes, but it's not the 26th, it's the 27th. And then he wrote back and he goes, our decision. And I go, oh my gosh, this is, I called the number right then and there. I said, Sheriff Prince, is that you? And cause I didn't have his number in my book. I think I have it in my own, in my new phone. I have it in my old flip phone. And, so yeah, we had a great talk and we reminisced a lot about all of this. And he's such a dear friend. And what he did, was miraculous. And anyway, Sheriff Prince is from Ravalli County, Montana. I filed, on February 28th, 1994, against the Brady Bill, against the Clinton administration. And then a few weeks later, and he's going to have to set me straight on this. A few weeks later, I don't remember if it was two or three or four, five or six. He'll be able to tell us when his case, I filed first, he filed second, and he and I never spoke about it. He never called me. And then we, get this, a small town sheriff from Ravalli County, Montana, and a small town sheriff from Graham County, Arizona, filed this lawsuit against one of the most corrupt regimes in American history. The Clinton administration to stop the Brady Bill, to stop the overreach and the gun control associated with the Brady Bill. And don't forget, there was five Brady Bills scheduled to be passed one year after the other to where they were completely going to gut the Second Amendment and destroy the right to keep and bear arms through those five bills. And Sheriff Prince and I stood up and said, No, that's not going to happen. Neither one of us thought we were going to go to the Supreme Court. Neither one of us thought we were going to win at the Supreme Court. The miracle happened. And I'm here to say that one of the happiest days of my life was when I was driving to work one morning at about 8 o'clock in the morning. And I heard on CBS News that another sheriff filed a lawsuit against the Clinton administration. And his name was Jay Prince. And he and I, believe it or not, these two small town sheriffs met for the first time in New York City when we were both on Bill Donahue show. And Sheriff Jay Prince, welcome to the Sheriff Mac Show this historic anniversary morning.
Sheriff Mac, let me just clarify a couple of things. First off, I think you filed first and I filed a couple of weeks after you did. And both of us, I don't think, knew that we were filing. And I want to also make it clear that we're not the only two sheriffs involved. There were seven sheriffs initially in this whole thing that created the situation where we ended up in the Supreme Court. So I give credit to the other sheriffs around the state.
In fact, I was going to name them all. And in fact, there was another sheriff in New Mexico that also filed, but I don't think his case went very far. But a total of seven and maybe eight if you count Sheriff Lee in Otero County, New Mexico. And so why don't we just name them? We'll name them right now if you want.
Yeah, let's name them because I want to give credit to these guys. You know, Sheriff Romero in Texas is dead now. But these guys started it off.
No, Sheriff Coog. They had Sheriff Coog in Texas.
Yeah, Coog, I'm sorry.
Romero is Louisiana.
Yeah, Louisiana. He's dead now. But at any rate, these guys started at the same basic idea that we had. Their decisions ended up making our decision in the Ninth Circuit Court conflict with the Fifth, I think, which created this whole idea that we go to the Supreme Court because we had two appellate conflicting courts meetings with different. So that sets
the
stage.
If it hadn't been for Romero and Coog, we may never have made it to the Supreme Court. I've said that lots of times.
Yeah, that's correct. So I want to make sure they get the credit that's due to them. We made it.
So another one was Sheriff McGee from Mississippi.
Right.
So and you, Frank, me, Coog, Romero, and then McGee, and then Sam Frank, who's in one of the pictures with us, and then Anders from Wyoming, and there's your seven.
Yep. So without those guys, we probably wouldn't be here ourselves.
True. Very true. Yep.
You're right.
Yeah. Because if it, like you said, Sheriff, if it hadn't been for the conflict at the circuit court, I think we would have been dead in the water at the Ninth Circuit.
Oh, absolutely. The Ninth Circuit is not the friend of ours or of anybody else. Freedom, matter of fact, but the fact matter that we had two conflicting opinions brought us to the Supreme Court, and surprisingly, they accepted our case, which I think surprised all of us because we were sure this is going to. So, at any rate, we're happy it did. We made it. We made history, as far as I'm concerned. And one of the things I learned about this was you don't poke the big dog in the ass because he kind of wants to bite you. We had some issues with the FBI afterward. I think you did too. So, but at any rate, it's as Voltaire said, it's dangerous to be right in matters where established men are wrong, and we proved that point.
Well, and Sheriff Prince, to make it very clear, you know, this is something that even today the mainstream press doesn't want to admit to. This is something that all, even scholars at collegiate institutions and so-called experts in the Constitution, they want you to believe that any sheriff that believes he has authority is somehow off his rocker, kind of an extreme right-wing psychotic sheriff that takes power unto himself wrongfully. That couldn't be further from the truth, Sheriff Prince.
Well, I know Sarah Brady called us renegades, didn't she? She called us the renegade sheriffs.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to say I'm glad to be a renegade.
Yeah. Yeah, anything that Sarah Brady calls us is a compliment. You know, she was something. She
well,
was,
I have a question
she was
for her
manipulating
now,
this
Sheriff
whole
Matt.
Thing. Wait, say that
I have
again,
a question
Sam.
for her now, and that is this. If Bill Clinton lost in the Supreme Court, wasn't he the out-of-control renegade that needed to be reined in, sheriffs?
Well, yeah, you would think.
He was a renegade in more ways than one, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you wanted a party in the White House, Billy Bob Clinton was the one to go to. But as far as having honesty in government, and I want to focus on this just a little bit. You alluded to it, Sheriff Prince. Sheriff Prince was attacked twice by the FBI after the decision came out, Sam. I got it really bad a year later when I was running for Utah County Sheriff, and they raided my office and put a big headline ruining my election. And let's remember this part.
And hold on.
After,
they say we talked
after
about
I lost the election.
No evidence, Sheriff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they've been doing election fraud for a long time, and they wanted to make sure I lost my election because I never heard from them again. They put my name on a search warrant aimed at someone else who I was a consultant for. Wasn't even a full-time employee of his. But, I did work for him as a consultant. And I never knew that he was doing what they alleged. But the thing of it is, they never charged me with a thing. They never indicted me with a thing. After I lost the election, I never heard from him again. And Sheriff Prince was attacked in two different investigations that were completely bogus, like the FBI has some sort of authority over us to begin with.
Well, Sheriff Prince, let's hear the stories. What happened to you?
I'll simplify them. I won't go into a lot of detail. But in 1995, prior to the decision coming out, I was involved in a deadly force incident where I had to shoot some guys trying to stab me to death, and of course that went to a coroner's jury, and everything was considered to be on the up and up. It was a good shooting. And then I had a deputy involved with an arrest that later on that also had to physically take a guy into custody, which took some force to do that. So all of those things happened prior to the decision. Well, after the decision came out, lo and behold, I had an FBI agent come into my office and say, oh, by the way, he says, we're notifying you that we're doing a civil rights violation, that shooting that you were involved in. I'm going, what? You got to be kidding me. And he demanded that I give him all the records from my office in regards to that shooting. And I says, well, go pound sand, because I didn't investigate my own shooting. You'll have to go to the sheriff's office that did it. And that's the one north of me. So I ain't giving you any records. Go to the court. Courthouse has all the records on the inquest. Go to the sheriff up north. He did the investigation, and get the hell out of my office, which they did. And so later on,
hold on. If the sheriff has no authority, how does he tell them to pound sand and they leave? What happens if I say that kind of stuff? They just throw me in the back of the car, right?
Yeah, well, they knew better. They knew they didn't have anything going on me, and this was all just retribution and political BS. So at any rate, they left, and later on, I was getting ready to retire in 1999, and I called that FBI agent up, and I said, hey, I says, you guys were nice enough to come tell me you were investigating me. I says, now why don't you tell me what's happened? You've never told me where that investigation has gone. I want to be clear to this thing, I want to know why not. And eventually they admitted that they dropped the investigation. There was no evidence to proceed further. And I said, well, that's mighty nice. And I was able to retire without having that thing hanging over my head. So that's it. My friends, the FBI, screwed up again, as they're doing today. They've been corrupt for years. They're still corrupt, and even maybe more so today than they ever were. It's crazy.
Yes, they are. And they're it's really amazing how underhanded, how weaponized, how corrupt the FBI has become. And they're blatant with it now. And this is something else I said, Sheriff. You and I both know some good people who work for the FBI. And I would tell them this. If you're still part of that organization, you're part of the corruption. And you're just taking orders and you're going along with them so you can get your retirement or get your paycheck. And you're going along with a corrupt organization for money. Do you want me to know what kind of, do you want me to tell you what kind of person takes money and keeps quiet about corruption? So stay there if you want to, but you're wrong. That's immoral, and you should get out and go do something else.
But let's be clear, though. It's criminal corruption. It's election tampering. It's intimidation. It's all the things of third world countries or all the things of dictatorship style kind of behavior, though. It isn't a constitutional republic with checks and balances and the rule of law and due process and these kinds of things at that point, right?
Well, part of the problem is you got people at the upper echelons of the FBI, the people that run it. You got the Department of Justice, which is run by a corrupt attorney general. You got a corrupt president. So, my God, you know, the crap flows downhill, obviously. But these people have no character. They have what's the term I'm looking for? They don't care about doing the right thing. They just care about what's good for them. They're all in it for the money, for sure, as evidenced by what I'm hearing on our fine president and his young son. But they don't worry about their character. They worry about their reputation, which they have the media trying to enhance that all the time. But, you know, you can't fool people. What's that saying? You can fool some of the people some of the time. They're not fooling all of us all of the time, that's for damn sure. And there's going to be a comeuppance here. One of these days, people are going to wake up and say, hey, this ain't right. Let's do something about it. And I think that's where we're headed. I hope that's where we're headed. There's another, I like quotes of people that are smarter than me, which is about everybody. But Robert Heinlein made a quote saying, you could sway 1,000 men by appealing to their prejudices quicker than you can convince one man by logic. And that's what they do. They sway all these people by their prejudices, but they can't convince Sheriff Mack and I by logic because they don't have any.
Well, it's also interesting that the reasons that you point out about your hopes for the future, Sheriff Prince, are the whole reason the CSPOA was born, Sheriff Mack.
Well, it was, and Sheriff Prince was a big influence on my life and on this case, obviously. It's every bit of this is miraculous. If you had talked to Sheriff Prince or any of the other sheriffs, all of us were putting our jobs and careers and lives on the line. We didn't know what the FBI was going to do next, or that the federal government was going to do, or the Clinton administration. And you need to be sure of something here. Everybody needs to be reminded. This was in the first term of Bubba Clinton. This was the biggest thing he had accomplished as president. And then along come some of these rogue renegade sheriffs, according to Sarah Brady, who was completely manipulating and exploiting her husband on this whole thing. But along come them and these two sheriffs stand up to the Clinton administration. And after, of course, 2.5, 3 years, I guess it was 3.5 years when the decision finally came out, that set it down and said it was a violation of law. It was a violation of the Constitution. It was a violation of the 10th Amendment. They didn't have authority to do this. And I need to ask Sheriff Prince this question, Sam. And this is what I've been wondering. I'm sure he and I talked about it in New York and other times. But the number one reason for me filing, Sheriff Prince, might be different than yours. And I want to hear what yours was. What prompted you to file? Did it have anything to do with you hearing about me? Or were you going to do it all along anyway? And what was the number one issue that you said, I'm filing a lawsuit against the federal government, a federal government that you and I did not trust, and we were putting our lives on the line for this? Why did you do it? What prompted you to do it?
Well, to be honest with you, I never really thought much about politics, even though, you know, when you run for sheriff, it's a political office. But I'm not a politician. I was a deputy sheriff for 15 years. My boss decided to retire and asked me to run for that position. So when I got into it, I'm an amateur politician. I sure didn't know anything about it. But when I followed this Brady Law as it was going through Congress, I was sure there's no way that thing can pass because it's idiotic. It just doesn't make any good sense. So I figured, well, it ain't going to pass. I wrote a couple letters to my congressman, whatever, thinking this is not going anywhere. And when the damn thing did pass and Clinton signed it into law, I'm going, oh, what the hell? So I asked congressman, I said, send me a copy of this thing so I can get an idea what the heck this is all about. It sounds like it's going to affect me pretty seriously. I couldn't get a copy of it. Nobody would send me a copy of it. Well, ultimately, I did get a copy of it, and I'm reading this thing, and I'm going, what? This is crazy. I don't work for these guys. Who in the hell do they think they are ordering me to do something with my limited resources and trying to do things that you can't do anyway? You know, you can't access, a local sheriff can't access mental health records without a court order. I can't just go in there and say, hey, give me mental health records. I can't access military, you know. Because you're trying to determine what the prohibited persons are, which are people that are dishonorably discharged. I can't access military stuff. I can't access mental health records. Illegal aliens, I got no idea about that. That's all federal stuff. So you're asking me, or not asking me, you're telling me I'm going to do something that I can't do anyway. And if I give the okay for a guy saying, okay, he all I did was run an NCIC check, he's got no felony record, I okay him to buy a gun, he buys a gun, kills 25 people, that's what they're going to say is me.
So we'll be right back.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Sheriff Prince with us, Sheriff Mack with us. It is a celebration on Brighteon TV with the Sheriff Mack Show.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTV at checkout for additional savings. BrighteonStore.com.
With so much of the world's current food supply consisting of dirty, contaminated, genetically modified foods that may have been grown using herbicides and pesticides, increased scrutiny over what you put in your body is of the utmost importance. Even supposedly organic foods found on most grocery store shelves may contain toxic substances, chemicals, and other additives that can be harmful to your health. That's why here at BrighteonStore.com, we subject all our in-house products to extensive lab testing for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology using our state-of-the-art spectrometry equipment to ensure the highest quality of cleanliness and purity. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
Ah.
If you can believe it, my dear fellow Americans, 26 years ago today on June 27th, 1997, Sheriff Richard Mack and Sheriff Jay Prince beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court. Bill violated the supreme law of the land. The good sheriffs held the President of the United States accountable for his criminal activity. Too bad there wasn't greater repercussions, but the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered was brought forth in modern times. A true case of when you stand up, good things happen. Sheriff Prince with us. He was telling us an example right before the pause. Sheriff Prince, give us the whole context.
Yeah, the context is had been kind of foggy as it was winding its way through Congress. I didn't think it was going to pass because it was really kind of idiotic. But as history tells us, passed that thing in Congress and President Clinton signed it into law. I had been curious as to how much of impact it was going to have on me, but I couldn't get a copy of it. Finally, I got a copy of this thing. And I'm reading it and I'm going, oh, this is crazy because there's things I can't do in here that they're demanding that I do. Running background check people without the ability to run a real background check. In other words, and I think I explained this earlier, you have to, the way the law was written, the sheriff has to determine if somebody is eligible to possess a firearm when he buys it at a gun store. And if you're one of the prohibited persons, you can't possess a firearm. Well, prohibited persons are people that are mentally ill, adjudicated mentally ill. I can't access mental health records. People that are dishonorably discharged from the military, I got no access to military records. So they're asking me to approve somebody within 5 days, or is it 10 days? I forgot now. I never did it at all, so I don't care about
that. It was five.
Yeah. So 5 days and give the go-ahead. If I don't have anything to deny it, I have to authorize this guy to go ahead and buy a firearm. And then he goes out, kills 10 people, and I find out later that he was mentally ill, but I couldn't access his record. What the hell is this? So, at any rate, I decided that this is a complex, unsolvable problem at my level, and I was given the notice that we had a big meeting with all the sheriffs and officials at our state capitol in Montana. The feds were going to come in and tell us how they could help us implement this thing. So I went to that meeting. It was a 150-mile drive for me. So I go over there dutifully, and I sit in and I start listening to these guys telling how they're going to help the sheriffs carry out this act. And I listen to all this BS, and I'm going, no, wait a minute. You know, I don't work for these guys. So I stood up and I raised my hand and they asked me, what did I have, Sheriff? And I says, well, I have a question for you. I said, what are you going to do if I don't do this thing? Oh, my God, I'm in a tizzy because I want to say they're in jail. So they started hemming and hawing and bouncing around. And I says, well, look, I says, I got to tell you, I ain't doing this thing. So we'll see you later. I got up and walked out and I figured there's going to be a bunch of people follow me out. And I got outside that room and got a guy behind me. Not one person followed me out that door. And so I get into my rig and I start drive home and I'm thinking, holy crap, I already stepped in her now. So what am I going to do? And so this is kind of how my thought processes were going. There's no way I can hire a lawyer and fight the federal government. You know, small town sheriff, I don't make a ton of money. The county, who knows what they're going to do. So after I got home, I started checking around, and as luck would have it, I was turned on to somebody from the NRA, the National Rifle Association. Long story short, they offered to pick up the tab and find me a lawyer, in which I got Stephen Holbrook, who contacted me, and that's how my suit got started. A couple weeks after Mac, and then after I'd filed, I heard about Richard Mack filing. I never knew the guy, never seen him before, never heard of him. But now he's filed first, actually, and then I filed second. And then, of course, Richard Mack had Judge Roll in Arizona, who worked on, who did your case. I had, geez, I forgot his name already. Any rate, my judge issued the first opinion on that because your judge was awful damn busy. And yeah. And then your judge issued the same opinion. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, here we go. And, of course, the United States immediately appeals it, says, hey, no way. And because we're both in the Ninth Circuit, when the U.S. appealed our decision, we combined our they combined our cases in the Ninth Circuit, and that's where we ended up. Now, my first meeting with you, obviously, was in New York City when we met to go do the Donnie show. And that's where we really discovered that we had like minds. Of course, you're better looking than I am, but I'm smarter. So here we go. We're having a good time in New York City. Donahue is such a weirdo. I think we beat the hell out of him in that that program. But here we are today. When the Ninth Circuit took our case, I thought, oh, we're screwed, you know, because they're definitely.
And we were.
Yeah, they're definitely one of the most liberal courts. And sure enough, they beat us 2-1. They had a 3-judge panel, 2-1 against us. I thought, well, that would be the end of that. And then they had the opposite decision in the Fifth Circuit, and that set the stage for filing an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, which I understand that they only take about 300 of those.
1%. 1%. Yeah.
Out of the 3,000 that are filed, and they only take a small number. So, man, when they took that case, thinking, wow, it's a big deal. And it was a big deal. And it still is a big deal.
Now, I want to look forward, gentlemen, with this court case in mind. You beat the President of the United States of America, who violated the Constitution, who tried to force public officials in different jurisdictions to do his bidding. The sheriffs refused. They have authority and rights to do so. The Supreme Court agreed with them, shut down the president. But isn't it eerie that 26 years later now, they're pushing by hook or by crook, same like-minded gun control efforts. They're doing so on the national level with banning bump stocks, a.k.a. Biden. They're doing so in Illinois. They're doing so in Colorado, they're doing so in the state of Washington, just to name a few. I mean, we're eerily at the same spot. You guys bought us 27 years. It's up to we, the people, and the rest of the sheriffs to see if we can roll back the tide for round two. But just like the Federal Reserve, you know, Andrew Jackson routed out the bankers, but they came back. I can keep going with examples of where the government just keeps coming back, and eventually they get their way if we don't stand up like you gentlemen did, Sheriff Prince and then Sheriff Mack.
Well, certainly we've got serious problems in this country, but, you know, our founding fathers understood the nature of man, and that's why they wrote the Constitution the way they did. Now, you got a bunch of smart lawyers, or at least who they think they're smart, the words into meaning things they don't really mean, and that's how they try to get away with this, the corruption of the Constitution. They try to take, and that's why I'm a big fan of Scalia, and currently my favorite justice is Thomas on the Supreme Court right now, because they're originalists. They take the Constitution and the words that were meant back then mean the same thing today. They can't twist these words around, and these modern lawyers and their BS are trying to twist words into being saying things that they don't say, and that's how they try to get around stuff. And I love people like Thomas and Scalia and those guys who say, no, we're going to take this Constitution and what they said then, it means the same today as back then. Can't change it around. One of the favorite parts of that decision precision is Clarence Thomas's part, where he's talking about, he does it. You've got it there. He has a separate but concurring opinion, And he talks about the Commerce Clause and how the Commerce Clause isn't as big as people like to think it is. And that intrastate, in other words, you know, kind of break it down a little bit. If you manufacture a firearm in the state of Montana and you only sell it within the state of Montana, the feds have no control over it. And that's
exactly.
And yep. I agree with it 100%. You know, they have as far as I'm concerned, a misinterpreted power in the Commerce Clause, which have, but that needs to be fixed. But right now, under Clarence Thomas's idea, that when you are doing intrastate, anything wholly within the state, the feds, under the Commerce Clause, don't have any control over what you're doing. So they can't regulate fire. Yes.
The fact that the states are sovereign republics in and of themselves, they created the general government. The creation cannot be greater than the creator. There is no delegation of authority from the states or with the people to the general government. There's no articulated list where they have authority in a given state with commerce at all. So factually, Justice Thomas is correct, and you're carrying out of that right now, highlighting this reality. It's evidence-based as you look at the supreme law of the land, Sheriff Mack.
Well, yeah, and I really appreciate what Sheriff Prince has said. He was absolutely discussing the same things that were going through my mind. How is it that the federal government can tell me what to do? I was hired by the people of Graham County. He was hired by the people of Ravalli County. How is it that the federal government can come in and dictate what we will do as part of our jobs? And in fact, that's what I told when the BATF came and gave us our orders as to how we had to enforce the Brady Bill. I said, you guys know we don't work for you. And they go, well, Congress passed a law. So, and I said, I don't care if you pass 500 laws. I don't work for you. And so I left that meeting very perplexed, very upset, said, how can I do this and remain a sheriff and keep my oath of office? So Sheriff Prince and I had the exact same feelings about this case. And that is, the federal government has no authority to tell any sheriff in this country what to do. And then what did we have? He had no other support really in Montana. No other sheriff filed in Montana. No other sheriff filed in Arizona. Only one sheriff out of 254 filed in Texas. In Texas. And so now we're faced with this dilemma. We're having the federal government come into a county in Montana just recently and shut a guy down that has run a gun shop for decades. And the sheriff does nothing. And they think that the federal government is the boss. And this case, the Mack Prince case, proves it, that they are not. And that if we're going to win this, we must have the dual sovereignty, as this case points out. Scalia didn't make up dual sovereignty. He just simply reminded us and took us through this history lesson. What a historic decision this was, because history was the name of this case. Scalia just quoted the founding fathers, as Sheriff Prince alluded to. This was very original. And he just went through the jurisprudence of the court when he brought up the New York case of 1992. The federal government has no authority. We are not subject, he said. States are not subject to federal direction. They threaten to arrest us if we fail to comply. I filed a motion to address that issue, and we won on that also. And stupid Janet Reno tried to justify saying, oh, well, we're not going to arrest the sheriffs. We just meant we're going to arrest the gun shop owners, the FFLs. And Judge Rawl said, are you kidding? You have no authority to change or interpret this law for Congress. It says anyone who knowingly violates this section of the Gun Control Act of 1968 is subject to a year in prison and a $10,000 fine or both. And so this is what we were looking at. And so I actually got, I don't know if you know this, Jay, I actually got an injunction against the Clinton administration from coming after me while we were litigating the case. And I think that applied to all of us.
I did the same. My attorney, Steve Hallbrook, one of the first things he did was go in and get an injunction that prohibited the federal government from prosecuting me during the pendency of this case. So that kind of protected my rear end, so to speak. So we went forward. Yeah. You know, interestingly, too, on this case, I had asked, I knew because I had made a campaign video for our governor at the time, Mark Roscoe, who was a Republican, and I ran into him and said, why isn't the state getting involved in my case? Why am I having to sue, and this is the state's responsibility? And he says, well, you're doing a fine job, basically, and we'll just keep out. Well, that's mighty, mighty encouraging, but it's not your money, you son of a gun, you know?
Yeah, my governor did the same. He was very supportive and very vocal about it publicly. But they never filed anything.
They should have been right involved because it was a state's issue, you know. And the other part of the problem was the feds are telling me here, you're going to do something or we're going to put you in jail. And I've got a state law, the preemption law, that prohibits me under state law from doing the very same thing the feds are trying to force me to do. This is crazy.
Right. And that's the problem, Sheriff Prince, that I see here and why I'm saying that Bill Clinton's actions were criminal. It wasn't just we want you to do something. It was under the force or the threat of jail. It was we're going to not only ask you to do something, but if you don't do it, we're going to use no authority of government to force our will on you anyway. That's where the criminality begins.
Well, they want to intimidate.
Before we end. Real quick, before we end, I want to show the pictures off that we got of us at the Supreme Court the very day we left. That was December, was it December 4th, 1996, we were at the Supreme Court?
December 6th.
I know it was 96, and I know it was December.
All right, December 6th, I believe, in 1996.
Okay, and, yeah. There's Sheriff Prince on the right with his nice, beautiful hat. Sheriff Frank in the middle from Vermont. And yours truly, on the left with my sunglasses and dark hair. Let's do one other at the press. Yeah, okay, there's the press conference right outside the Supreme Court. That's Stephen Halbrook at the mic. Sheriff Prince on his to the left, and then myself there. That's one of our other lawyers in the background. That's Richard Gardner in the background. He's the one I first talked to when I was calling the NRA for advice about what I should do. He's the one I talked to, and I really can't notice anybody else, but what a historic day that was. That wasn't that cold of a day. It was very nice. And then right after that, I went to the G. Gordon Liddy show, and he had a cab come pick me up. And my son and daughter were with me, and miraculously, they got to go inside during the hearing, the one-hour hearing. And this has been such a family thing for us, Sheriff Prince, that we've never forgot any of it. And my daughter, Lucy, never forgot that she lost the camera with all of our pictures on it that I was going to send you later.
let me make a comment. Those standing on the steps of the Supreme Court, this was after the argument, but prior to the argument, when I arrived there, I had my Sig Sauer 45 caliber semi-automatic handgun on me in a holster. Mm-hmm. When I went to court, I checked it in with the Supreme Court marshals. They put it in a gun locker. After the argument, I went and checked it back out. I put it on back in the holster on my hip, and we're standing on the Supreme Court steps with my 45 caliber semi-automatic handgun in my holster. And Steve Holbrook later on, when he noticed that I had it, he thought, geez, you're crazy. You're going to get us arrested. And I said, nah, ain't no way, Steve. They ain't arrested me after all this been going on. I said, besides that, I'm a sheriff. I'm authorized law. I'm here on business. So it's all good.
I took his suggestion and I didn't wear mine. I'm in uniform without my gun, which is a no-no, but I didn't wear mine. I should have worn it. Yeah, well, God bless you for it too. God bless you.
Coulda, woulda, but I'm happy that this case came out the way it did because it was the The states have power. The feds have power. That's the whole idea behind the Constitution, you know, and the states don't have the power. If the states don't have, or if the feds don't have a power that's designated in the Constitution, then it belongs to the states or to the people, respectively. That's the 10th Amendment. It just makes sense. And all we did was do a census, and people wanted to criticize us. We were right, and we'll always be right.
Amen.
And what's funny about this, and we'll get into these details a little bit more next hour on the radio, ladies and gentlemen, for this epic two-hour Sheriff Mack interview on the 26th year anniversary of the greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered, where the two great sheriffs, along with five others, literally beat the federal government and said, oh, no, you don't. Today, scholars and professors and so-called constitutional educators claim that the theories that Richard Mack talks about are nothing more than theories, that somehow right-wing sheriffs believe a lie, somehow they don't have the authority they claim to have, somehow they're misrepresenting the court case in Antonin and Scalia, they're misrepresenting reality on this. And I want to give Sheriff Mack and Sheriff Prince both an opportunity to respond to that, because I find it very fascinating that Antonin and Scalia can articulate this. We can literally highlight the quotes from the Supreme Court case, and then they run around and talk about conspiracy theory as if they somehow, meaning these professors and, quote, collegiate folks, they somehow have the authority to interpret the Constitution any way they want, even against the Supreme Court, and somehow they're right and these sheriffs are wrong. Thank you so much for watching the Sheriff Mack Show. You want to get a copy of the Supreme Court case? It's available now at cspoa.org. For Sheriff Richard Mack and Sheriff Jay Prince, I'm Sam Bushman. Thanks so much for watching Bridey on TV and radio, and thanks for listening to Liberty, Loving Liberty Radio Networks.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, on Bridey on Radio, and of course the Loving Liberty Radio Network. Loving Liberty, our nationally syndicated partner, they're the ones that help us with our national syndication and distribution. God bless them for all that they do. This is a historic show. Yeah, former Ravalli County, Montana Sheriff Jay Prince has been with us on TV. We're getting him back on the radio as well as we switch over. Also, Sheriff Richard Mack, ladies and gentlemen. Today marks the 26th anniversary of the Prince Mack versus U.S. Monumental Supreme Court case that restored the 10th Amendment in the United States of America. It stopped them in their tracks from absolute blatant in-your-face gun control. Sadly, 26 years later, we're kind of at the same spot, folks. Just think, though, a Supreme Court case win and good sheriffs standing up stopped them once. Can we do it again? Is the question. And I believe the sheriffs, backed by the American people, absolutely can do it again. The Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association was created for that very purpose by Sheriff Richard Mack, the founder and president of CSPOA. We can restore America again, and I think sheriffs can take that lead, Sheriff Mack.
Yes, I feel the exact same way, Sam. We should. What I learned about Sheriff Prince and I going to the Supreme Court was that there's not enough court space. There's not enough money to take all these issues of corruption and abuse and oppression from the federal government. And we should just be to say no. Tell them, no, you're not doing that here. I don't have to obey you. You're not my boss. And I'm not going to sue you. I'm not going to do what you say. And stay out of my county. And from now on, before you come here, you let me know first what you're doing. This, you don't have jurisdiction except for five things granted in the Constitution. Don't come in here and act like you're in charge of my county. And don't be coming in here raiding gun shops in my county because I'm not going to stand for it. And you want something done, you go through the proper channels here in this county.
Sheriff Prince?
Yeah, well, the feds have gotten out of control, as we've managed to notice here over the last couple of administrations. The Department of Justice is so corrupt that it defies imagination. The FBI, and don't get me wrong, there are a lot of FBI agents that are good, honest, hardworking guys. But the administration of the FBI has gone corrupt. I mean, there's a cancer in that organization that is beyond belief. And the ATF, that's been a rogue organization for so many years, I can't even count that high. We need to do something about it. We need to get people involved at the federal level, our senators and our congressmen, to fix those problems. They're not going to fix themselves. And the feds will run roughshod over these states and these local sheriffs. You know, you're going to end up with some poor sheriff getting arrested on something, and he's going to have a hard time defending himself because they've got the power. It's like Joe Biden says, we've got F-16s. What do you got? So it's a serious, complicated problem. It's going to take some serious men involved in correcting it, and I hope those men, you know, in Montana, we got a couple of good people. We have Rosendale is our congressman, and we've got Daines is our senator, and we got some good guys at that level. We just need to get more of them involved in fixing the federal government, which is going to be a complicated and long-range plan.
Roger that. Stay there, Sheriff Jay Prince of Montana and Sheriff Richard Mack of Arizona. Hour one of the can. TV and radio archives will be available soon. Hour two coming up. Hard-hitting talk radio always at your fingertips. I am Sam Bushman. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.